Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us hearts. Thank you for being a God who cares about us and gives us this kind of thing to think about. Thank you for your words, for your spirit that takes away our tensions, our worries, our fears, our will to control our own futures. Take it all away and leave us to feel very vulnerable, but replace it with great strength, power, and mercy. Wonderful things that you give to us. We thank you for all this and your promises. Pray, Lord, that you would bless the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable in your sight during this time. And teach us, Lord, how we can be effective in this world, in your kingdom, till we see you one day in heaven, Lord. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Does everybody have a copy of the handout? If you don't, there's some in the back. You need one of these. It has The Temple by George Herbert on there. Does everybody have one? If you don't have one, raise your hand. You can get one. Can we get some over there, Shirley? I've mentioned George Herbert to you before. I came to know George Herbert through some songs that were written by Vaughan Williams called The Mystical Songs. And they're all about Easter. And this one doesn't happen to be about Easter, but that's how I got to know George Herbert. And I'm challenged by his writing because it's oftentimes hard to read because he writes in Old English and also because of the fact that it's very deep sometimes. And I like it for that reason. It's challenging. But I'd like to just draw your attention to it for a second, and we can take a look at a couple parts of it. First of all, it comes from a selection of poems that he wrote called The Temple, and they're online. You can get a copy of those if you feel like reading them. They're written in 1633, and this one is really coming under Matins, which is really kind of a morning devotion that he wrote, and it came out of his devotions. And I think it's a real encouragement for us to read these kind of things because it could just open a door for us to widen our horizons in terms of our devotions too. But anyway, he starts off by saying, "I can't open my eyes, but you're already there to catch my morning soul and sacrifice." So you awaken, you open your eyes, and God is there already, ready to catch the morning soul and sacrifice. You can figure out what the next line means. But I'd like you to read it. You know, I'm not going to go through this whole thing. I'd rather that we talk about what Jesus has to say. But the next part is really where I got the idea for today's sermon, and it also resulted in a song for children that we're singing with a chorale that Lee Chun and I run. It's called My God, What is a Heart? And he goes on to say, is it silver or gold or a precious stone or a star or rainbow or a part of all these things or all of them in one? My God, what is a heart that you should woo, that thou shouldst it so eye and woo, pouring upon it all thy art as if thou hadst nothing else to do? And so he goes on from there, and you can read through that, this poem, and see what it says to you. But he really is more or less looking at God and saying, what is it in me that you see that is so much worth your time and effort and all the things that your love? What is it inside of me, a man, that a God like you, so great, takes time to woo my heart? You know what woo means? Kind of like to attract it or to try and pull it in, to get it to pay attention to him. Why would God want to do that? You know, it's an interesting kind of a concept to think about, but he does. He gets us in all of our lives that are so filled with different things and our own selves most of the time, and he's saying, I want you. I want your attention. I want to teach you good things. And that's what we were talking about and reading about in the Proverbs, that there are things, words that he wants to give to us and things that we are to keep hidden in our hearts as the writer of Proverbs had said. And so it really goes through this whole concept of this morning devotion, and that's where it started out. And my thoughts started to go in this direction because of that. And today we have words from Jesus that are far more important than the words of George Herbert. I mean, George Herbert is using scripture also in the way that he writes. But Jesus says things to us that really need our attention. And he talks about things like a treasure, and where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So the first question I want to ask you is, what is your treasure? Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And so what does that mean to you? What is God trying to say to you today with those words? George Herbert asked, what is a heart? The question Jesus is asking is, where is your treasure? What's your treasure? Can you put that slide up, Tom? I found this online. There's a pumpkin behind it. I think it's just holding up this frame. But you can ignore the pumpkin. But it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And there's a frame there. And so what I was thinking is, I would like for you to maybe take the handout that you have and turn it on the blank side, and then imagine on that piece of paper a frame just like this one and a picture that you would put in that frame to describe what your treasure is today. When I was thinking about a heart, I remember one time we were having a Bible study somewhere, and the guy took a lot of pains to explain that a heart is not the organ that grows in our bodies and that pumps blood. And it was much more than that. But you know, I knew what he was talking about, but I feel that the heart pumping blood through our bodies is actually what we're supposed to be thinking about when we see the heart. And there's a reason for that. Right? The heart is something that is very important in our bodies, and it also forms in us when we're born. And you know, each one of us has a heart. But my heart is not the same as yours is, but each one of us has been given a heart. And each one of them is different, but it serves the purpose of giving us a very good image that God is drawing on here, I think, to tell us that he has given us that heart to think about these things. And he refers to those things in the Bible. Now, there are other languages that refer to different parts of the body, maybe the liver or the kidneys as being important and things like that. But in English, we use the heart. And it's interesting, right? Did you think about that? But it really does have to do with something that is central to our lives. And your heart is pumping blood right now, and it's causing you to be able to sit here and pay attention, I think, to the sermon. I hope. So it's of vast importance to think about the organ that is pumping blood in our bodies when we're reading this scripture today. It's an important thing in our lives, and God gave it to us. It's interesting, when I was starting to think about this, I thought of family. And I thought of my mother, and I thought of coming out of my mother's womb. And the fact that going backwards, you start to think, when did my heart start to be formed in the body? Now, there are a lot of doctors in this church that could tell you better descriptions than I could of when the heart is formed in the body, but I do know that God writes in his word that we are formed even before we're in our mother's womb. That we exist in God, we have life even before we are formed in our mother's womb. But all of these things have to do with the heart and what God is trying to say to us today. Your life is of vast importance. Your being alive today and having this heart pumping blood through your body is of much more importance than we sometimes give it. And that's what this is all trying to put into our minds today. What is our life? What is a heart? What is life about? What's important to us? And as I started to think about family, it came into my mind how important photos are in the lives of our world today. You can take a digital picture and then put it up online in a matter of seconds, right? But a lot of times in our homes, we have pictures of family, and we can look at pictures of our family members. We can look at our pictures of our ancestors, oftentimes. And you see these faces, and you're trying to, you know, when you initially see it, it may not have the same kind of impression on you. But when you go through your life and then you look back at those photos, it starts to stir some things, some emotions. It starts to, it can have a very positive effect and it can have a very negative effect. But I think what God is trying to say to us today is that those photos really should serve the purpose of reminding us of where we came from. Right? Those photos that we're taking of each other and putting up there really describe people in our lives. And God has given us these families that we have around us for a purpose. And you know what? Families have the biblical evidence of being very problematic. Very problematic. Probably, I had a friend from Texas who told me that the greatest feuds are between family members. Right? The biggest feuds that exist are between family members. We shouldn't be surprised, but is that supposed to be that way? Is it supposed to be that way that we have these fighting that is going on between family members and we have this kind of a thing? I was in Germany visiting some friends one time, and I was talking to the guy, and he said, my brother lives across the way. And I said, oh, your brother lives across the way? And he said, yeah. And then as time went on, he started to describe the situation where he said, I had to put up this fence because we had this argument over the house that we both live in next to each other. Next to each other, we put up a fence so that we wouldn't have anything to do with one another because we've been feuding with each other for all these years. They were brothers. And I think it's a pretty avid and very, very fitting kind of a picture of what can happen when things go against what God intends. But the whole idea here, this whole concept of what we're talking about here has to do with our relationships with one another, right? And this whole thing of being formed and our hearts being formed and our bodies being formed and coming from our mothers and having brothers and sisters, having a father, having all of these family members, and all of that has a much higher purpose, and that is our relationship with God. It teaches us, our heart teaches us, that pumping organ in our bodies teaches us about God and our relationship to Him and the importance of that. And it really points to us the importance of keeping God central in our lives. This central organ that pumps blood through our bodies and keeps us alive is telling us that there is a God and He has given us our lives and we are to have a relationship with Him. And oftentimes people are separated through their sin from God. We all are. But there are a lot of people that maintain that kind of a friction, a feud going on with Him, and they just keep it going like that, and they build up fences in their backyard, and they go through their lives pretending like everything is fine. And you know what? The heart, the way that God is talking about it in terms of that, not the organ, but the heart that He's talking about in the Scripture here, really gets to the heart of the issue. What is more important? What is important? What is the treasure that is keeping you so intent on keeping feuds going? What is so important in your life that is dividing you from other people? From getting on with the fruit that God is wishing and desiring, the blessing that He's wishing to give to you in your life so that you can really, really understand what life is all about. You know, and that's part of the reason that we're talking about this today, I think. You know, I can think of a treasure that gets in our way quite often today. You know, the treasure that I would have to put up in there is a computer. Great thing, great device. But it's probably one of the worst things to ever happen to mankind. Because it takes everybody away from each other. And I'm speaking from my own experience of saying, yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I hear you. What'd you say? You ever had that experience? You're sitting in a room, someone's talking to you, and they're talking to you about something important, and they want your attention, and you're going, yeah, right. And you're typing away, and you're looking at your computer, and then you're popping over here to Facebook, and you're IMing somebody, and you send a little IM over here, instant message over to this friend, and then another person comes up, and meanwhile, you're somebody in your family is standing there trying to talk to you about something important, and you're saying, yeah, what'd you say? I mean, come on. We've all been there, right? And we just keep doing it. We just keep doing those kind of things. And not only there, but there's other things that you could put in that picture. What else is there? Take a couple of minutes and think about what you would put in that picture of what your treasure is. Well, God says in Proverbs that it should be things from heaven that take those pictures, put pictures of those heavenly things up there. So you can use your own ideas and your own knowledge of the Bible to think about what those says. But what would really please God is if you put a picture of Christ up there. You put a picture of the cross up there. You put a picture of Him in there and say, that is my treasure. Right? You are my treasure, Lord. How many times do we work on our computers and think about God less? How many things get in our way? For the young people of today, the biggest thing that you hear about is there's studies and studies and studies. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of studies. I'm sick of hearing. I got too many things to do. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. I don't have time for you. I got this to do. What are you doing? I'm sitting there wasting time writing on Facebook. That's what I'm doing. If you think that life is about studies, you are the most boring person in the world in terms of Christianity, because you are sacrificing everything for something that has nothing to do with what is in your life at the moment. And you get caught up in these things and you start to say, oh, I got to study. I'm so worried about this study. I've got to do this and I've got to do that. Are you really studying? I mean, be honest. Are you really studying all the time? Or are you going to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting up and trying to make it through the day, and then you stay up again late in the morning up into the early morning? I'm not just talking about kids. I'm talking about adults. How much time do you spend on a computer? How much time do you spend doing things that are away from God, and you're just spinning around and spinning around and spinning around, and meanwhile your heart is just gone? And you miss the point completely. Our church has things to do in it, right? There's things that are we need help. We need help in different areas. We need people. We had a kid that showed up in church on Friday night. He was looking for a group of people to fellowship. He was 24 years old, and we had to put him in with a bunch of old people like us, and he left after 5 minutes, and I don't blame him. Yeah, you're laughing, but you know, that's the biggest problem. We have people sitting here today of that age group, and you gotta get with it. You don't take from church. You don't take from a church and just keep taking and taking and say, I'm gone. You know, I can do what I want. I can do what I want, and I can come and go as I please, and I don't have to really take part. I mean, we're talking about people here. And a person came through the door to the church that night, and we said, come into our group because we don't have anybody here your age. And he left. He just walked into the church and looked for some fellowship. He said, I'm looking for some people my own age. And he looked at me, the poor guy, and he had to look at me. And he's gone. Oh, but I gotta go. I got a lot of things to do. I got so many things to do. Yeah, what do you got to do? What do you got to do? Want to compare notes? We've got people putting together Bible lessons for you. We've got people putting together all kinds of things, programs, all kinds of things, running around trying to do stuff. I don't have time for you, sorry. You got a mind. You've got things. You've got good ideas. So do something. Do something. You don't like the way things are done? I've been going to church here for a long time, and other churches too. You get complaints from people all the time. Oh, it's nice. We don't get this, we don't get that. We don't get this. Oh, it's so much better over there. It's so much better over here. So it says in Proverbs, that we're supposed to hide God's word in our heart. Do you? Do you read the Bible every day? I mean, do you read one word each day? Where is your treasure? I wasn't really planning on saying these things. But I spent a lot of time wasting my time when I was growing up. And I blamed a lot of the stuff that I went through on my parents. I was so messed up. I have so much anger inside. I had a different life. And why do I have to go through these things? You can't blame people all your life, I'm sorry, for what you're not doing. You can't blame churches for what they don't provide. You need to put Christ into that picture, man. And you need to say, that's enough for me. He's enough for me. Keep his word in your heart. Put it there. Keep it there. Hold on to it with your life because he gave it to you. In those words are life, it says. That's life. That's where a heart, what the heart means. It's where life is found. God puts it there for a reason. And I know I've been rough today. But it's not because I understand where you're coming from, but it gets very frustrating. And sometimes I'm really convinced that the best thing that young people need to hear, and what I could have really benefited from, is someone saying, grow up. You want to be treated like an adult, then act like an adult. Oh, you've got such a hard life. How do I do this? I've got this problem, I got that problem, I did all these things, you know. Later on in my life, I've realized how much my parents meant to me. Later on, you start to, you don't even remember what happened. You're like, oof, what happened back then? You see a person who is, you're faced with a person who loves you and talks to their friends about you and says, you know, this person is so important to me, and this is what my kid did. You may not even know it. Your kids don't know anything your parents say. You may hear some of the things that they say. But you don't know your parents. One of the best things that our church can do if we want to be healthy is to start reading the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are filled with love, man. They're not this, and sometimes, you know, including me, myself included, we assume that everybody knows them. Oh, we don't have to teach those, you know, because everybody should know what the Ten Commandments are. Honor your parents. Honor your mother and father. If you can start now to forgive your parents and love them with all your heart, then you will be putting Christ in that picture. And that means that you have to swallow your pride and you have to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I will do that. Yes, yes, that's what I have to do.
might hate it. But I have faith that God is going to take that obedience and he's going to bear fruit from it. And all those things that you're working through in your mind, and maybe even now sitting there thinking about it, you may resent what I'm saying to you, but what I'm saying is that your heart is important to God. And if you try to go through your whole life living with the things that have happened to you that you don't like, or that you feel are unfair, or these different things that go through, then you're going to have a really long life and a really hard life. And it's not going to start getting better if you leave the house. And I think all the adults here could tell you that. You think you got it made when you're away from situations where you're held responsible for something, but that's a real blessing. And I'll tell you one thing, God demands it. Because when you are disrespecting parents, and if you disrespect your family, and if you as adults assume that you can continue on in pride and in arrogance and in feud and with not loving, then you have completely missed the picture of what God is trying to give us in a heart. And you need Jesus to come in and heal your heart. You need Jesus to come in and take away all those things and replace them with himself. That's what you need. That's what I need. I'm dependent on it every single day of my life. And I've been learning it ever since I was a little kid. And I heard about Jesus. And I knew how much he loved me. But I can tell you one thing, I didn't live like I loved him for most of my life. And I didn't live with an appreciation of that. I didn't put his picture in there, in that frame, and put it up on my desk and say, you're the way I'm going to start my day, just like George Herbert. You're the way I'm going to start my day. You're the way I want to be confronted. I want you to woo me. Hold on to me. Because you're where I need to be today. That's what I want. I want to give my heart to you. I want you to take my soul, everything about me, and use it. And teach me all these different things. You can find yourself in the Bible. You just have to look for it. You have to look for yourself there. You have to look for what God is trying to say to you directly. And he will talk to you, and he'll come in there, and he'll say, I love you. I love you, and I'm never going to give up on you. I never have. I knew you before you were born in your mother's womb, and I love you now, and I'll love you forever. And he takes this heart, and he shows us those things, and he says, this is what it's all about, guys. If you heard something today, and in the way that I said it, that made you feel offended or hurt, I apologize for that. I'm not trying to make you feel, you know, like here's an old man telling you these things. I'm trying to tell you something that I've been through in my life too. And it isn't just, you know, sit down and read your Bible so that you can memorize everything. It's a God who's loving and kind and gracious and merciful, and he wants you to have everything. And I know many people could say that they had bad experiences at home, but you got to believe that your parents feel that way about you too. The times that they don't spend saying things that annoy you or telling you not to do things that you want to do and stuff like that. They're talking about how they want you to succeed and how they want you to have this and that in life. They want the best for you. And that's why parents do the things that they do sometimes. They're not perfect. They're not really good at it most of the time. But they love you. And they want you to do well. And they deserve your love and your honor because God told you to do it. It's a command, and it's also a wonderful thing to do when you see what the results are in your parents' face when they know that their child is there loving them and caring about them just the way that they care about their children. Okay, so just think about those things today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for being our Father, for giving us hearts. Help us to take a frame, Lord, this frame thing that you gave to us today, and to consider what our treasure is, just like Jesus asked us. And help us to have a sense of questioning in our hearts today to that will result in finding what it is that you're trying to say to each one of us. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to look for ways to break down barriers, to search our hearts, to give our hearts to you to search, so that we can be healthy. In our hearts, Lord, it says in your word that our whole body will be healthy if our hearts are working right. So help us, Lord, to think about these things and to help it to be a blessing in our whole church, to individual hearts, the things that we're doing in our individual hearts to result in a healthy church as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.